just the facts.
It's a fact that spinner blade shape is a huge factor in how many fish you're going to catch when you're pulling crawler harnesses. Stick with the basics until you understand what they do, and then you can add other blades. Basics like the Colorado blade, which is short, fat, has a lot of vibration but a little bit of flash, and the willow leaf, which is long and skinny, gives off a lot of flash and a little bit of vibration. Those two basic shapes will get you started. Pick the right one for the conditions, and I promise you, you'll start catching more fish every time you're pulling crawlers.
Just the facts.
Hey anglers, welcome to another edition of Teaching Fishing Coffee Hour Plus. I'm Captain Lance Valentine. It is absolutely hard to believe that it is a Tuesday in August 2022, August 10th to be exact. Where has the year gone? It just seems like it's just poof. And here we are in August, getting ready to kind of finish up summer, transition into fall, and we're not too far from Lake Erie fall walleye. So while you're here, scroll down a little bit, just below the Coffee Hour Plus Live. You can see that we've got a link there to the upcoming events, the Fishing Education Weekend. We are all set for the first weekend of November in Huron, Ohio. I spent some time on the phone today. We've got all of the pricing wrapped up. We will have it for you in the next couple days. We are all set and ready to go. And I'm proud to say that we were able to really, really kind of keep things affordable. We were really able to kind of work with the people that provide some of the services for us. We were able to keep the trip extremely affordable. So hopefully you can join us at the Fishing Education Weekend, November 3rd through 6th this year in Huron, Ohio. Excited about that. Also excited about what's going on the website. Make sure you take some time to go to teachingfishing.com, click around, check out some of the free courses, check out the public lounge, see what's there, check the blogs. We've got some new blogs that are up. Lots of really cool stuff from myself, from Mark, from Ali. There's some just really cool stuff there. If you got a day you can't fish, or you're just sitting around, or your wife's watching Dancing with the Stars, click around. There's lots of blogs for you to watch there and get excited about it. Remember, Teaching Fishing Anglers Club. This month, we are talking with Ali Shakur about the science of dog day walleyes. So we'll do the mini course, and Ali will give us comments on what the science is behind what's happening the dog days. And Ali and myself will join you for a live Q&A at the end of the month. That's the Teaching Fishing Anglers Club. You can join that at Teaching Fishing. Check that out. Remember, if you join today, just even though it is August, you have access to everything that we have presented over the whole year. So it's not just from here on out, it's the whole year. You've got access to everything for this year, so you don't miss anything. We would love to absolutely have you here. You'll also notice as you scroll down the links, we left the links up for last month's or last week's, 2 weeks ago, weather seminar that we did. That's important. We left those links up so you can find those apps. We talked about that. You can go back and watch that Coffee Hour Plus if you'd like to. And before you leave today, if you would scroll down to the bottom of the page that says newsletters, enter your email. Please enter your email so we can get your email and get you on our mailing list. Lots of stuff coming up when we kick off the new look and the new course process we're going to go to in September. Lots of cool stuff coming up. You definitely don't want to miss any of that going forward. So make sure you go down to the bottom of the screen, either on your phone or your computer tonight, where it says newsletters, enter your email, hit that orange square with the arrow on it. That'll get us your email and we're ready to go. And if you have any questions or comments tonight after we're done, scroll down to the bottom here of the screen. You'll see the after session comments and questions. Fill out your name, your email, and send us your comments or your questions, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. So, all right, good to see everybody here. Appreciate you guys for checking in. Let's get started with this week's mini course. We're talking about spinner blades. You know, a lot of you know that I don't fish a lot of crawlers anymore. And the only reason I don't is efficiency, right? When you're doing what I do, when you're trying to get as many fish in the boat as fast as possible, you're trying to run 12, 14, 16 rods. Dealing with crawlers and the non-game species that bite them is just not efficient. But there are times and there are places, especially if I was looking for bigger fish or if I was tournament fishing that spinners ran on the bottom or spinners ran suspended with a big fat juicy nightcrawler sometimes is the way to go. So don't think I'm against spinner fishing. I am not. It's just something that doesn't work very effectively and efficiently when you're a guy. And so I want to talk a little bit because this is kind of spinner time, right? I know a lot of guys fish them in the springtime, but this is kind of spinner time. There's nothing better in July, August, early September, sometimes in a big, fat, juicy night crawler on a crawler harness or a spinner. So I want to talk about blades because blades are a big deal. Now, I don't get too caught up in beads. We'll cover this later, but I don't get too caught up in beads. I think as long as you have dark beads and light beads, you're golden. I honestly don't care if it's blue and white or chartreuse and dark orange. Don't care because I think if you get down below 12, 15, 18 feet of water, they're black and white or light and dark to the fish, and it doesn't really matter. Spinner blades, though, I think makes a big difference. All right, so let's talk about some spinner blade basics to get started here. All right, picking the right spinner blade is key to catching fish on harnesses. Couple things: shape, size, vibration, finish, and color are all important. All of those are important. Shape, size, vibration, finish, and color. Okay? All of that is important. If you go down our 8 steps, those are all right there. So those are things we need to pay attention to when we are picking the right spinner blade, all right? Let's start with shape. Two basic shapes I'm going to talk about tonight, and somewhere down the road, maybe we'll go a little more advanced into spinner blades, but two basic shapes I want to talk about tonight. They are the Colorado, which is your normal, everyday, every spinner, 90% of the spinners you find commercially tied are Colorado blades. I call it a fat blade. This is a size 5. You can get them all the way up in musky size, or about size 9, all the way down to a size 00. This is a pretty common walleye size. Size 4, size 5 is a pretty common walleye size. But Colorado is wider and it's a little bit fatter. We'll talk about that in a second. And then the second blade that I think everybody should have in their boat is a willow leaf. It's long and skinny, right? Now, between those two is the Indiana, something that I would add. And as I have traveled the country over, you know, 30 some years of walleye fishing, there's lots of different variations of blade. There's hatchet blades. I'm trying to think some of the other blades we fish. There's hatchet blades. There was one we used to fish all the time on Saginaw Bay. I can't remember the name of it. But there are different blades that do different things. But when you're starting, just stay to the basics. Colorado, willow leaf, and maybe add a few Indiana. All right, size. We're going to talk about size and shape kind of together, right? And it's the same as crankbaits. Match the hatch. If you're dealing with early spring, you're pulling spinners in cold water, close to the thermocline or in deeper water, and the fish are feeding on smelt, you're going to want a number 6, number 7, maybe a number 7, number 8 willow leaf blade, a long, skinny blade. If you're dealing with young of the year shad up close to the surface, you're going to want a short, fat blade. So the same thing we do with our crankbait. So shad style crankbait, minnow style crankbait, right? Long, skinny bait fish, short, fat bait fish. Same thing with our blades. Colorado, short, fat bait fish. Willow leaf, long, skinny bait fish. Okay? So it's the same thing working down the 8 steps that we process. Same way we do it with crankbaits, we do it with spinner blades. Okay? Vibration is important. Each one of these blades is going to give off a different vibration. Now, you know how important I think low frequency vibration is, right? So the vibration is pretty simple. The fatter and wider the blade is, the more low frequency vibration it sends off. Okay, so your Colorado is going to be a thump. Some of them call it a thump blade because you can feel it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel it going through the water. Whereas a willow leaf spins a lot tighter to the line, spins faster and spins tighter to the feet, to your harness, it's not going to give out a lot of vibration, just a little bit of high frequency, but very, very almost non-existent low frequency vibration. So very low vibration on the willow leaf, a lot of low frequency vibration on the Colorado. So that should give you an idea of what blade to pick when the water is dirty, stained, low light conditions, right? Remember that vibration becomes more important in those conditions. Flash, let's talk about flash a little bit. Flash is just the opposite. Willow leaf blades have very, very little vibration, but lots of flash because of the way they spin. Colorado blades have a lot of low frequency vibration, but the least amount of flash. So again, dirty water, clear water, right? So you got to kind of mix and match the style of blade you're using to the bait fish, to the size and shape of the bait fish, and to what frequency and flash pattern you want your spinner to look like. Guys, this is so important. When you talk to guys who are really good spinner fishermen, they don't just grab a blade and throw it on there, right? They're thinking about what they're doing and why they're doing it. Why are they fishing Colorado? Why are they fishing willow leaf? Why are they fishing an Indiana blade? Chopper blade is one we used to fish in Saginaw Bay. So why, right? So think about that, the vibration and the flash. Let's talk about finish real quick. Stay away from cheap spinner blades, right? If you're buying blades and they come 100 in a pack for $3, they're cheap blades. If you want a good blade and you want it to flash, make sure that it is actually real silver, real copper, and real gold plating. That's important. Stay away from nickel, stay away from brass. Now the material of the spoon or the spinner blade is probably going to be brass, is what they make most of these out of, but you want the plating to actually be real silver, real gold, or real copper. If you get nickel or brass, inexpensive spinner blades, when you get down about 9-10 feet, they basically flash black. There is no flash. Real silver, real gold, pure copper. When you put it on a blade, you actually get that color actually flashing. That's extremely important. Don't skimp on spinner blades. The other thing I like is I like a hex cut blade. Like these are my favorites are from Warrior Lures. This is obviously the Warrior Colorado, the Warrior Willow Leaf. He's got a six-sided pattern on the back. These are cool. They catch more light. The more sides you have, the more surface area you create, the more flash you get. So smooth blades give off a little less flash. And when you start to do these faceted six-sided cuts on these give a little more flash. So pay attention to that. But you want to definitely make sure your finish is real silver, real gold, pure copper. You're going to pay a little bit more for a blade, but it's actually going to give you that color. All right. And then last, color is the key to fine tuning. Okay. Pay attention to the front of the blade. Pay attention to the back of the blade. We'll talk about that in a second. But color is the key to fine tuning, right? Remember, if you look at our 8 steps, color is last. Again, doesn't mean it's not important. It just means it's not important until once you get dialed in, you get the fish dialed in, you get the depth dialed in, you get the speed dialed in. You're kind of dialed in on the right size, shape, action, flash, vibration of blade. Start playing with color. Color can be a huge deal. And don't just play with this color, right? Like chartreuse and orange. Play with the base color, right? Is it silver? Is it copper? Is it gold? Is it green antifreeze? Is it pink antifreeze? Is it black with accent colors on it, right? Pay attention. So you've got three basic, colors on the blade. You've got your finish, which is usually the back of the blade, right? Then you've got the finish or the base on the front. What is that first layer of paint? And then you've got your accent colors. So there's three basic parts to the color of a spinner blade. The finish on the back, the base color on the front, and that may be the same as the finish, and then the accent color on top of the base color. So we're thinking of three different things here when we start going through picking a spinner blade, all important, okay? All right, here is a pro tip. We're going to end with this. Here is a pro tip. If you guys got questions, get them up there on the chat. If you are on a phone, just scroll down a little bit. You can actually sign up for the chat. Just scroll down on your phone. If you're on a computer, it should be on the right side of the viewing window there. If you are catching your fish on a crawler harness and they are hooked on the back hook, that means they are coming from behind the harness. You need to pay attention to the back of your blade. That's what they're seeing. They are not seeing the front of your blade. All they're seeing is the back of your blade. Okay? Pay attention to that. Start to match that up. If the fish are hooked on the front hook, that means they're coming from the front or the side to attack that crawler. If that's the case, pay attention to the color, finish, and accent on the front. Little pro tip there I learned from my good friend Steve Bowen, one of the best spinner fishermen I know. Fish on the back hook, pay attention to the back of the blade. Fish on the front hook, pay attention to what's going on the front of the blade. Okay? All right, just a little bit there to get you dialed in with some basic spinner blade stuff. Gary says, great question. What are your thoughts on the back of the blade being pink or chartreuse? I think you should have blades in your box that have pink antifreeze, green antifreeze, and if you want to go chartreuse backs. I absolutely believe that. I would tell you even some places I fished add white to the back of your blade. So you may have this Fire Tiger blade, right? You may have this Fire Tiger blade with a silver back, gold back, copper back, antifreeze back, chartreuse painted back, right? And they're all different, because what you have to understand is this. Here's a good point. Let me go back here real quick. I'm just going to give you one more little tip, and I want you guys to do this the next time you're out. If I take this same bead pattern, chartreuse and orange beads, and I change the back color of that blade from silver to gold, those beads look completely different as that blade is spinning. That's why you need copper, silver, gold, green antifreeze, pink antifreeze, chartreuse, and maybe even white backs, all with the same front accents. Because that's a big deal. Okay? Gary, so what about they swallow both hooks? They swallow both hooks. I would tell you, if you got a crawler harness bite and they swallow both hooks, your blade doesn't matter. They're on and they just want to kill something. But you know, usually if I'm getting the front hook, if they're hitting the front hook, I pay attention to the front of my blade. Okay. All right. Anybody have any other questions or comments on that before we kind of move on? Okay. Too many guys. Again, I think they just too quickly grab a spinner blade and slap it on and they call it good. And that's not, oops. That is definitely not the way to do it. So pay attention to all those factors. Okay, let's go into a quick little conversation for about 20 minutes here. Something I brought up today. Again, if you heard the story, I didn't get a chance to do my charter today. Was up there, got started. The guy had the boat, got a phone call from home, had an emergency at home. We had to turn right back around and kind of get back. So frustrating day. For everybody, right? I mean, I hope, honestly, you know, the biggest issue is I hope his issues at home are good. So driving home from Limit Beach Marina this morning, I stopped at the boat and did a little bit of maintenance, which always can be done, and then headed home. I'll get to you just a second there, Mark. And I went live on Lance Valentine Sport Fishing, which I have a couple times. We talked about networks. You know, the conversation kind of turned to, or my conversation kind of turned to the thought process I go through and the information I got the other day. I gave an example the other day where I got some information. I processed it. I actually had to kind of dig a little deeper into it. And it actually ended up being that we were in the right spot, doing the right thing. There was no reason to move. Even though the person we talked to had more fish than we did, there was no reason to move. And we ended up having a great day. So I talked about my network and kind of how I like to get information, usually about 8:45, 9 o'clock, right? That's 2 hours into the day about. I like to know what my other charter captain buddies are doing, because it lets me kind of get a feel for what they're doing. Because look, I like to fish shallow. We got other guys that like to fish deep. We have other guys that like to pull lead core. So I'm getting, when I talk to five or six other charter captains, I'm getting not just five or six pieces of fishing information. They're doing different things than I am. So I can kind of get a whole overview of what's happening. Mark says, how fast do you run spinner blades? You know, you can run spinner blades, if you're gonna tie your harness on fluorocarbon, you know, as slow as you can go and get the spinner blade to spin, up to probably two to three. If you go too fast with fluorocarbon harnesses, they have a tendency to spin. If you're going to go really fast, if you want to pull harnesses at 2.5-3 miles an hour, which I don't understand why you would, I would tell you to tie your harnesses on wire, because then they don't, on stiff wire, because then they don't twist. But most my crawler fishing over the years has been done 0.7, 0.8 to 1.7, 1.8, kind of that, you know, below one to mid ones. That's kind of where I like anything faster than that. You might as well run a spoon, because that's what they're biting. They're not, like, the crawlers are irrelevant. At 3 mile an hour, the crawler is irrelevant. They're basically hitting the blade, so you might as well put a spoon out there and not worry about keeping the worms alive. What are my choices on hooks for your harnesses? I run a size 2 octopus hook in the front, and then I run a size 10 round bend treble on the back hook. That's what I run. I like trebles on the back. I think I get more hookups that way. And I like a big red, I use a red octopus hook on the front hook. I think that red is important. I think it's it gives them something to aim at. And when they aim at the front hook, they have a chance. If they miss the front, they still get the back. So I put a red hook on the front, a number 2 high quality Gamagatsu octopus, and then a round bend Gamagatsu treble on the back, size 10. Usually sometimes a size 8, but mostly a size 10. I like smaller, just like my stinger hooks on jig fishing. I like smaller trebles. I think they grab better. Steve said, I'm running faster 2.0, downsized to a number 4 Colorado. Smaller blades help with that. I'm going to go into some deep water fishing techniques a little bit later. So we're going to talk about some of this advanced spinner stuff somewhere down the road. So stay tuned for that, because I have some really cool information about running spinners fast. So some cool things to do. Mitch says he ties his own harnesses and always puts one red, blood red bead in front of the first hook. Not sure if it helps. I'm sure it doesn't hurt. I'm pretty sure it doesn't hurt. And again, when I get into, I'm going to do an advanced class on spinners. There are a couple bead things I'm going to talk about when I do that, because there are some things that I look at guys' harnesses and I kind of shake my head and go, ooh, that's not the best way to do that. So there are some definite little tricks to tying harnesses that we'll get to later in the year. Talk about the importance of variable speed while pulling harnesses. What are you talking about, Larry? Going fast, going slow, or turning the boat? Kind of help me out with what you're talking about when you talk about variable speeds while pulling harnesses. You know, again, if I'm going to put a worm on, I'm going to go through all the trouble to keep worms alive. I'm not going fast, because if I'm going fast, I'm taking the worms off. I don't understand going, you know, 2.6, 2.7, 2.8 with a crawler, because the crawler's irrelevant. The crawler doesn't mean anything. You're better off to take a spoon and fish it that fast. And if you want to, put a small little piece of crawler for scent or a shot of garlic night crawler pro cure on your spoon and go fishing. You know, to me, live bait fishing is slow fishing. It's very meticulous. It's slower speeds. It's trying to get fish that don't want to bite to bite. That's what I think of live bait. If that's not the case, I'm going on and not messing with it, right? And you've heard me say, if you've heard me rant the last couple of weeks about the guys up where I'm fishing by Pink Con, like, if you're watching 30 boats go by you at 3 miles an hour and everybody's catching fish, we can't keep lures in the water and nets are constantly going, you know we're pulling crankbaits, why are you pulling spinners? Right? Why would you, if you can catch them at 1 mile an hour, why would you want to go one? I don't understand that part of it. So Larry says, stalling, dropping them back in their faces. Yeah, we've got some old classic video. We used to call it Face Full of Jolly. Every once in a while, you'll see some fish following, and what you'll do, you know, or think there's fish following. So you either really turn sharp and your inside ball board stall so that spinner goes right in their face, or what you do is just open your free spool your board back 10, 15 feet, and again, that spinner falls right in their face. Little trick we used to use, you get sometimes when you're crawler fishing, you get a fish just kind of grab on, and you see your tattle flag kind of do that, and they're just kind of hanging there. And we used to call it a face full of jolly, right? You'd open the bail and just slowly thumb that planer board back, and now that you're taking tension off of that crawler harness, or it's going right in his face if he's let go of it. And sometimes you let it go back 8, 10, 12, 15 feet, you click it in, and by the time it catches up, boom, he's got it. So yeah, that can be a big part of it. Mitch says, I think blade size, type, and color is way more critical than beads. I 100% do. I'm going to tell you, chartreuse and black bead combination, 10, 12, 15 feet of water, is exactly the same to a fish as dark blue and white. It's light, dark. I don't think it matters. You'll see most of the patterns that I used to fish or do fish for harnesses are just some combination of light bead, dark bead, light bead, dark bead. I think that's the way bait fish are, right? They're light on the side, dark on the top. You want that light, dark. That's what you want. Steve said, I catch a few when I see them nibbling on the crawler through the action of the board. Free spool the board. Yeah, that's what we used to, like I said, we used to call it a face full of jolly. Give them a face full of jolly. You see the board just kind of tip, or you see the flag just kind of do that. Just open it up, free spool it back 10, 15 feet, close it up, and it'll start to come forward and whammo. They've got it pretty good. So all of that's part of it. And all that's, you know, that's part of the fun of crawler fishing, right? It's just that little finesse part of it. So there you go. All right, so let's get back on to our network. Let's talk. I want to talk a little bit about your network. You know, I know Steve is using the Teaching Fish and Anglers Club quite a bit. He's posting fantastic reports. You know, I don't want to miss anybody. You know, and Mitch Lodge is doing a bunch of it. Al Van Brocklin, Jim Mick, those guys are consistently posting. I see a bunch of reports on there. So, I don't want to miss anybody. So, I'm not going to, you know, I don't want you to feel guilty or feel bad that I miss your name, because I appreciate every single one of those reports. And I think you guys need to do that. Like I said today, I like, you know, my morning trips run 7 to noon, and at 9 o'clock, right around 9, I want to know what everybody else is doing, because at 9, I still have time to make a move, and it still gives me 2.5 hours to catch some fish. If I wait till 11 to figure out what everybody's doing, because I've only got a few fish, I don't have any time. So I like to figure out what's going on about 8:30, 9 o'clock with my gang, and then make a decision, because if I have to move, I have time to move. Get to where I'm going, it still gives me 2.5 hours to get set up and catch some fish. So I like to have that information fairly early in the day is where I like to have it. And I like to know, so I call my guys, and like I said, it took me about 5 years to get these guys used to this. I call or send a text to our whole gang, depending on who's out. And sometimes it's one or two other boats. Sometimes the whole fleet's out and there's 12 of us out. A lot of times we use a group text, and 8:45, 8:50, you know, check in, and you know, you see 3 fish and 4 fish and 5 fish and 3 fish and 4 fish and 2 fish and 4 fish and 5 fish. Well, if I've got 3, there's no sense of moving because everybody else has got the same. You know, if I see a 20 and I've got 3, you know, first thing I want to know is how deep that guy's fishing. I don't care where he's fishing. I really don't care where he's fishing. I want to know how deep he's fishing. Because if I'm fishing in 10 feet of water and got 6, and he's in 20 feet of water and got 18, I guarantee you somewhere close to where I'm fishing on the bay, I've got a good spot of 18 feet of water that I can go catch fishing, because now I know the fish are deeper. So that's the kind of stuff that I like to get. I don't need to know your waypoints. I'm not coming to where you're fishing. I just want to know how, you know, I want to know how deep. I want to know how deep your water you're fishing, how deep your lures are, how fast you're going. I don't care what lures you're running. I don't care what color you're running. Don't care any of that. How deep water are you fishing? How deep are your lures that are effective? And how fast are you going? If you give me that information, I can usually, in the last 2 hours and 15 minutes of the day, I can figure it out and catch some fish. I don't need to know your waypoints. I don't need to know where you're fishing. I just need to know those 3 pieces of information. So I try to get that about 9 o'clock. And then I can make a decision based on what I'm doing. Based on the information I get, is what I'm doing right? Is it wrong? Or do I need to make an adjustment? So, you know, having a network is huge. And having a network, not just before the day or after the day, but having a network on the water is gigantic. So I hope you guys are taking advantage of the Teaching Fish and Anglers Club Facebook page. I hope you're taking advantage of the team app. We're going to talk more about that a little bit later. I'm going to do a nice little video on the team app. You guys need to have that if you're part of what we're doing. It's a great way to share information fast. I think we'll come back and do a seminar at some point, do another quick course on how to share information. What do you share? How do you share quickly? We do a pretty good job of it in Huron, Ohio. And you know, we know guys who have come to Huron, Ohio, and you know our routine in Ohio. That's kind of what we use. Larry says, while pre-fishing for tournaments, our group checks in every half hour. Gives lures working, depth of water, and actions of the bait. I think that's a great idea. You know, and a group text is the best way to do this, right? You don't have to call. You don't do anything. Just, you know, everybody knows at 9 o'clock, check in. And, you know, we'll see it on our group text. Somebody gets on a hot bite. You know, everybody will check in at 9 o'clock. You know, 3, 3, 4, 6, 3, 4, 5, okay? And all of a sudden, somebody will type in, you know, 20 minutes later, 14. Okay. That guy's got something going on. Right? So where is he? What's he doing? What depth of water is he in? That's, you know, kind of important. So I think getting information while you're on the water is huge, right? You don't need to be a lone cowboy, right? You don't need to be a lone wolf. Getting help from people is huge. Every body of water we fish is gigantic, right? It's huge. Even Holloway Reservoir is a big body of water. You know, you could be at the wrong end of the reservoir. So get yourself a group. I said that the team app works great. The Teaching Fish and Anglers Club, the Facebook page works great. If everybody says they're going fishing 2 or 3 days ahead of time, so maybe on Thursday, somebody sees there's 5 or 6 guys going, maybe somebody grabs that and starts a text group, right? Where you put everybody's, you know, text, phone number on a group text, and you just use that to share information. I think that's an awesome way to do it. So information is key. Jason Kelly says, can't wait for the Huron trip. Always a great time. One of my favorite weekends of the year. So always look forward to going to Huron, Ohio again this year. First week of November, 3rd through the 6th. If you scroll down, you can find a link to sign up for the trip. We'll have pricing on there. I will get it to the people who need to have it tomorrow. And we'll have it up 3, 4, 5, 6 days. And you'll be ready to go. And we'll let you know when you can sign up. But I would encourage you to get a group of guys that you can work with. Find a way to communicate before the trip so you know who's going. Find a way to communicate while you're on the water. Again, group text is my favorite way to do it. And use that information to make good decisions. And again, we'll put together a mini course on how to get information, give information, how to evaluate it, and actually what the thought process is, what I go through. I talked about it today at Lance Valentine Sport Fishing. There's a Facebook Live there you can go back and check. Okay? All right. Anybody have any other questions before we wrap her up tonight? I won $50 at golf tonight in the 50-50 drawing. Woohoo! So I sure didn't win by playing well, but I did win the 50-50. That was always good to win a little bit of money playing golf. So I'm back on the water Friday. Tomorrow looks a lot of north winds tomorrow. Was planning on taking my brother-in-law and a couple of my nephews, but they're talking pretty high north winds tomorrow. So we'll be off tomorrow, be in the office in the studio all day tomorrow. And then we will be back on the water Friday with a single, double on Saturday, double on Sunday, single on Monday. And then we've got another full week. And then we're pretty much going to start to wrap her up a little bit on Saginaw Bay. So that's it. Hey, look it. We're back again 2 weeks, 24th of August is our next Coffee Hour Plus. We're talking about, what are we talking about? Bottom bouncers. We're talking about bottom bouncers. On the 20th, Saturday the 20th, stay tuned and watch the Lance Valentine Sport Fishing Facebook page. It'll be my honor on the 20th of August. This guy's been fishing with me for 6 or 7 years now. Joe Reha will be with me and his family. We'll have Jenny Olson from Michigan Outdoors shooting a TV show. On August 20th, which is a Saturday, on our morning trip, Joe will be with us. Joe will be celebrating his 104th birthday. Is actually August 20th. He has literally been fishing in Michigan for 100 years. Amazing guy, amazing story. He's fun to have on the boat. He definitely lets me know if we're not catching enough fish fast enough. He definitely lets me know if the fish we're catching aren't big enough. So it'll be really cool to have Joe on the boat on his 104th birthday. So we'll post some pictures and some video up that day. I think it'd be really cool to see. I mean, what just a special gem, you know, a guy like that is, right? And you know, I've had the honor the last couple of years to take him fishing, and I'm so looking forward to. We've already had 2 trips this year; they've both been good. Looking forward to celebrating his 104th birthday on the boat. Really looking forward to that. So, thanks for your time tonight, guys. Appreciate it. We'll see you back here next time.